Good evening. I am Hank Jones. Welcome to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Block Talk Radio. We are part of Global Patriot Radio, appearing on Block Talk Radio. Be accurate. And sorry for the late start. I was looking at some last-minute news and kind of got sidetracked. Anywho, I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Joined each week Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al. And Saturday nights from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. And please excuse my sinuses today. It's cold where I am. I'm sure it's colder where you are, but I woke up to 42 here in Orlando, and it's kind of like, whoa. But, yeah, cooler, dry air, especially dry air, messes with my sinuses, my allergies, something fierce. So, you know, what the heck. I'll deal with it. So, hey, lots of ways to interact with our shows. One, you can listen live online. Just go into blogtalkradio.com, click on the live button and listen, or look down to the right. Look for Global Patriot Radio under those that are listed as chatting. Click in and listen in. Or you can get a free account on blogtalkradio.com, log in, and then go to the live button, and then you'll appear in the chat room with anyone that feels like chatting. Very cool. Also, you can do what Sue from New Mexico has done. You can dial in at 319-527-6706 and listen in that way. And if you have something to say, of course, you can always hit the one on your phone, and I'll get a little icon that says, hey, someone wants to talk to me. Hanging out in the Hank Jones Poly Sports Space Force Observation Outpost with my little Aussie. Wife was over in Tampa the last couple of days doing some work. I still haven't seen if that SpaceX launch or whatever launch, I don't think it was SpaceX, but there was a launch supposed to go at 5:17, a manned launch, but I don't know if it actually went today. I was in the middle of some stuff. Yeah, they did delay it. They delayed it till tomorrow. Kind of figured they would for several reasons. One, it's been cold here. And we know what happens in cold when we remember that with the Space Shuttle Challenger, unfortunately. Could create some real problems. So that's going up tomorrow. But I am in the Space Force Observation Outpost. My mini Aussie was fed promptly at 5:03, a couple minutes late. Like I said, wife's been over in Tampa doing some work stuff over there. She's headed back tomorrow. I'll be headed up to Silver Springs to do some paddling. I know. It's the overnight low in Silver Springs tomorrow, or tonight, I guess you'd say. Well, it's 50 degrees right now. Yeah, it's supposed to, tomorrow before I get there to paddle, it's supposed to be 37 degrees. Now, I know, to you guys, that's October, November. For those of us in Florida, not quite. My first paddle's at 9 a.m. when it'll be a robust 46 degrees. Now, look, I'm not a wuss. And for those of you that know about springs in Florida, all springs in Florida are at a constant 72 degrees. That's why manatees come in. And that's why people come to paddle with us, because they get to see manatees up close and personal. Still. I guess one morning I got out there was 41. That was pretty rough. But 46 for my first paddle. My last paddle, going to be about 62, 63. So that's very, not only is that doable, that's like stripped down to the shorts, even in Florida. Hey, today's first Internet Laffy comes to us from the Babylon Bee, of course. It's 10 predictions, or they're predictions for 2024. This thing's a scream. January 3rd, Kamala becomes president after Biden passes away peacefully in his sleep underneath her pillow. January 4th, revealed to only be mostly dead, regains presidency. January 6th, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dies again. January 9th, David French publishes revolutionary op-ed, the conservative case for only supporting progressive causes. This next one's great. January 23rd, streaming services all together to provide content bundled for $180 per month finally letting you get rid of cable. Oh, God. February 12th, Los Angeles Dodgers signed all baseball players in existence, including the reanimated corpses of Babe Ruth, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and Ty Cobb. February 23rd, Ozempic revealed to give patients a taste for human flesh, thus ushering in the true zombie apocalypse. February 28th, the population of Mexico reaches zero as everyone crosses the border into the U.S. March 1st. Actually, we're going to have a February 29th this year, so they missed that. March 1st, Americans begin migrating to now empty Mexico in search of a better life. March 2nd, Trump asks Ron DeSantis to be his running mate. March 3rd, Trump tells DeSantis, psych! March 31st, Elon Musk fathers 73rd child. April 1st, Biden announces plans to cut government spending, stop funding foreign wars, and secure our own border. I hope everyone got that. April 15th, nothing happens. Nothing of note happens. April 19th, AOC posts something really dumb on X, formerly known as Twitter. April 20th, Joel Osteen posts something really dumb on X, formerly known as Twitter. May 4th, Disney announces all-female Star Wars remake featuring Brie Larson as Luke Skywalker and Lizzo as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Shouldn't she be Jabba the Hutt? May 5th, Disney stock price reaches all-time low. Disney execs baffled. Oh, God, these are good. These are good. May 7th, Obama comes out as even gayer. May 8th, this is moot at this point. To raise campaign funds, Chris Christie joins OnlyFans. May 19th, Pfizer accidentally announces vaccine for new COVID variant that hasn't been released yet. May 20th, Pfizer announces new COVID variant. June 5th, Trump announces he has destroyed Hillary Clinton's final Horcrux. June 7th, Newsom raises fast food worker minimum wage to $1,000 an hour. June 8th, McDonald's raises prices of Big Macs to $1,000. July 4th, true Americans fire rockets into the sky and barbecue dead animals, giving some a sliver of hope that we might just survive all this. July 9th, camper full of meth with license plate reading Hunter, found on White House lawn. Secret Service unable to identify owner. July 31st, global warming causes warm temperatures for 3 months for some unknown reason. August 1st, after floods, earthquakes, mudslides, and droughts fail, God sends an asteroid to destroy California. August 2nd, Steve in Des Moines, Iowa, eats a delicious breakfast burrito and all is well in the world for just a few hours. August 3rd, Steve suffers the consequences of eating a breakfast burrito made in Iowa. August 22nd, massive protests erupt over manufactured controversy to give Democrats scheme going into the election. September 2nd, Valve Software finally releases long-awaited Half-Life 3. But it's a mobile game with microtransactions. September 8th, Lizzo eats 3 more backup dancers. September 27th, final kid in America becomes transgender. Everyone begins detransitioning since now that's rebellious and cool. September 30th, Aiden of Toledo finds a really cool stick in the woods. 162-win Dodgers eliminated from playoffs in first round by 83-win Padres. November 1st, San Diego Padres win first ever World Series. Parentheses, writer of this list is just saying stuff he wants to happen at this point. November 4th, new pandemic, cyber attack, land war, George Floyd 2.0, global famine, alien invasion, civil war begins. November 5th, Trump wins election in a historic landslide victory of 128 million votes. November 6th, Trump preemptively impeached on 52 different counts. November 7th, Biden declared winner of the election after 127 mail-in votes arrive overnight. November 28th, Biden announces that the cost of Thanksgiving dinner has never been lower at $9,628,000 per household. December 1st, your wife completes all the Christmas shopping for you, the kids, everyone you know, and herself. December 6th, Southern California man Kyle wins trivia night at a pub and basks in eternal glory. Here's the scary part. Some of this might come true. December 23rd, you wonder if you should get your wife something for Christmas. December 25th, Google updates their Google Doodle to recognize the historic birth of a genderqueer lesbian artist woman of color. December 26th, your wife isn't talking to you for some reason. December 31st, extensive research efforts. There are still only two genders. Weird. That's the predictions from the Babylon Bee for 2024. And you know what? I believe they're right on some of those. Welcome, Boyd, the Alaskan, to the chat room. He joins Sue from New Mexico, who's on the phone, so maybe somehow they could crosstalk. I don't know how that would work here. But the second funny internet laughy today is also from the Babylon Bee. This one is La Dopey Nostra's top 10 accomplishments of 2023. Number one, reduced obesity in America by making food unaffordable. So simple. Two, clean up all the cocaine bags someone was leaving around the White House. Decency restored. Three, kept American hostages safe from junk fees during their stay with Hamas. Not one single junk fee. Number four, set all-time record for people illegally streaming into the U.S. It's because he's the most popular president ever. Numbers don't lie. Number five, raised dementia awareness by 400%. Also, sandbag awareness. Number six, created record numbers of new billionaires. Okay, they're all in Ukraine, but still. Seven, promoted transparency by releasing several behind-the-scenes video from Capitol staffers. Number eight, saved democracy by arresting political opponents and not allowing people to vote for anyone else. Number nine, set new record by spending 40% of his time on vacation. Finally, giving Delaware Beach the attention it so richly deserves. And 10, heroically stayed alive to save America from a Kamala Harris presidency. Whew. Yeah, yeah. Last week's losses that I deem significant. Wednesday the 10th last week, Tisa Farrow, actress and sister of Mia Farrow, passed away at 72, no cause listed. Thursday the 11th, Colombian supercentenarian Efran Antonio Rios at age 113. Also, former Major League Baseball player Bud Harrelson passed away from complications of Alzheimer's at 79. Friday the 12th, soap opera actor and model Alec Musser passed away at age 50, apparent self-inflicted gunshot. He modeled for Abercrombie and Fitch, Speedo, and Target, among others. And then he won a reality competition called I Want to Be a Soap Star. I'm not making this up. Subsequently joined the cast of All My Children. We also lost singer and soap actor Bill Hayes at age 98, played on Days of Our Lives, among others. He wins the day, though, for his 1955 chart-topping song, The Ballad of Davy Crockett. Absolutely. Ballad of Davy Crockett. Remember that show? Great show. Saturday, we lost actress Joyce Randolph, age 99, of course. Her most famous role, that of Trixie Norton, wife of Ed Norton on The Honeymooners. Not! Sunday the 14th, former NFL quarterback Norm Snead, 84, played for several teams, Redskins, New York Giants, Minnesota Vikings, Philadelphia Eagles, San Francisco 49ers. Played college ball at Wake Forest. He was a second overall pick of the 1961 NFL draft. This past Monday, former Florida Gator and NFL linebacker Ronald Powell, a very young 32, no cause listed. Very sad, though. Yesterday, we lost former Hawkeye All-American football player, later became an assistant coach, Jerry Hilgenberg, passed away at age 92. He played for the Hawkeyes from 1951 to 53, played with the legendary Cal Jones. After serving in the United States Air Force, he served as an assistant coach at Iowa from 1956 to 1963. He was actually Forrest Evesheski's first All-American, first one of the Evy era. This was during the golden years, Forrest Evesheski, the 56 to 63. Hawkeyes played and won two Rose Bowls, and that included winning the Football Writers Association of America National Championship in 1958. I know people talk about LSU. They were the AP champion. The FWAA voted the Hawkeyes as champions. Why? Because the AP chose its champion before bowl games. LSU lost theirs. The FWAA included bowl games, and of course the Hawkeyes won theirs. He actually also coached his younger brother, Wally, who became a star for the Hawkeyes and in the NFL for the Minnesota Vikings. In addition to all that, two of his sons also starred for the Hawkeyes and later in the NFL. Son Jay won a Super Bowl with the 1985 Chicago Bears. That included another former Hawkeye star, Mark Bortz. Interesting factoid, Bortz played defensive line in Iowa, but converted to offensive line with the Bears. His son Joel, who was in my age group, actually Jay was too, a few years older, son Joel played for the New Orleans Saints. Today, who's that? He's age 72. He's a former Norwegian Olympic discus thrower. He won 11 Norwegian national titles in the discus and 9 in the shot put. Later became a coach, in fact. But I heard of him. He also participated in one of those old show, either Superstars or World's Strongest Man, those competitions they used to have like an ABC. And I don't remember which one. I just remember that was how I heard of him. But then I saw his name, and I was like, whoa. Also today, this is the news I was talking about that I just saw. Dejan Milojevic, an assistant coach with the NBA's Golden State Warriors, passed away today at age 46. He had suffered, apparently, a heart attack at a team dinner in Salt Lake City last night. Tonight's game between the Warriors and the Utah Jazz has been postponed by the NBA. So, yeah, understandably. Originally, Milojevic was from Serbia. He joined the Warriors in 2021 after having head coaching stints in Serbia and Montenegro. And yes, I know I can already tell Twitter's going to blow up in other places, but I know his head coach, Steve Kerr, whatever, has been an outspoken advocate of the COVID vax downs and all the other liberal causes. But let's please not go there. Seriously, I mean, Dejan Milojevic leaves behind a wife and two kids, and so maybe all our energy would be better spent praying for his family and his team, no matter what you may think of Steve Kerr's politics. Please continue to pray for Felicia Goodson and family. She is finishing up her cancer treatments. She's been getting a little more active on Twitter, or I should say X, formerly known as Twitter. And just a sweet lady, as Tyrone Tracy said to me, just a great family. And by the way, Tyrone Tracy did a really nice thing over the weekend. He played in the Hula Bowl, scored a touchdown, and he wore logo and colors from both of his teams, both Hawkeyes and from his later school, Purdue. Just shows what a class act the kid is. So when he says Tyler Goodson comes from a real good family, he'd know, because it's pretty obvious that and evident that Tyrone Tracy does also. Don't forget, my friends, at Alliance Communications, Central Florida's premier 24-hour call center, messaging and answering service, medical clinic, hospital clinic, survey gathering services, property management, service companies, large and small. And again, if you're one of those companies that said, we're not going back to the office, we like saving on rent, this COVID stuff maybe helped us in one way or another. Don't forget, they can be your front line. They can also work with remote staff. So if you are needing their services or interested in working at a remote capacity, give them a call, 800-555-3738, or, of course, the internet, AllianceCommunications.com. Another internet laffy from the Babylon Bee. They have some good ones recently. Democrats disprove claim they will covertly rig election by rigging it in plain sight. Okay, to this week's stuff. Welcome T. Bodie to the phones, listening in. Welcome the Duckster. Duck Northwest Media, now going by Snowman James. I hope that's not like Hunter Biden connotation of Snowman, by the way. We're going to go straight to Polyports with sports with this story from ESPN the other day. NCAA approves new NIL rules to, quote, help athletes protect themselves. Good Lord. Yeah, they voted last week to adopt new rules designed to help athletes avoid unscrupulous agents and unfavorable terms in name, image, and likeness contracts. Like what? Getting free transfers? Being able to go wherever they want? Starting next August, they will provide athletes with standardized contract recommendations for deals and aggregated data to help schools and athletes have a more realistic picture of the going rates for endorsement deals. Yeah, good luck. They also plan to create a voluntary registry of credible and trusted agents that will be based largely on feedback from the athletes who have worked with them. I got news for everybody. Credible and trusted agents. Contradiction. It's not an oxymoron. Well, I guess it's kind of an oxymoron, but it's, yeah. Credible and trusted agents. Here's what MAC Commissioner Vice Chair John Steinbrecher said. We don't want to do anything to get into the way of student athletes trying to activate their NIL rights, but we do want to assist them in essentially protecting themselves. Said they formally also proposed new rules that if passed would be able to help facilitate deals between athletes and NIL collectives. Schools and any associated collectives will still be prohibited from negotiating deals with recruits or transfers before they enroll. Still be prohibited? It's happening now. Why do they say will still be prohibited? It's happening now. Last month, NCAA President Charlie Baker proposed a far more dramatic new policy shift that would, among other changes, allow schools to pay athletes directly to promote their universities through name, image, and likeness deals. Oh, God. Implementing those changes would have to come in tandem with help from Congress, providing a federal law that would provide some antitrust protection for the NCAA and carve out a special status for athletes that keeps them from becoming employees. Yeah, this particular version of Congress and the administration are big on trying to make people get people classified as employees. And there's a major problem with that. I'll tell you one, in Florida, I happen to work in a vocation that's almost impossible for employers to get workers' compensation, because workers' compensation carriers do stupid shit like say your people could be attacked by sharks or alligators. Yeah, if we were stupid. But then guess what? We wouldn't be hired if we were that stupid. So they don't give roofers. It's hard, impossible for roofers to get workers' comp at a normal rate. Here's what Charlie Baker said, though. There's no doubt in my mind a lot of these schools would do a lot more for student athletes if it was done under some framework that looked more like a contractual relationship and less like employment, because the employment, one, comes with a million other things that are pretty dramatic. Hey, how about, you know, stopping contact between schools and athletes? How about making that, oh, I don't know. I mean, if the student athlete reaches out while he is still in school, then not in the transfer portal, he should become immediately ineligible. If a school reaches out to an athlete who is not in the transfer portal, they should lose scholarships. Maybe they should be banned from recruiting that particular season. Food for thought. Deeper into Poly Sports here. The game Sunday between the Buffalo Bills and Pittsburgh Steelers to weather. Remember, T. Boney remembers this, I'm sure. I'm sure you all do. Remember when the NFL used to have games in freezing weather? Remember that? Remember like games like the Ice Bowl? Yeah, the governor announced it. With 2 to 3 inches of snow expected to fall at the peak of the storm, Erie County issued a full travel ban beginning at 9 p.m. Saturday, according to Governor Kathy Hochul of New York. 2 to 3 inches and they're banning a full travel ban? The Bills had sent out a message to fans and citizens offering to pay those willing to come out and help shovel from before the game. It was originally scheduled for 1 p.m. Sunday. They were expecting 24-degree weather, heavy snow, and 40 to 50 mile per hour winds. Well, yeah, that could be dangerous, but still. AccuWeather, Jesus, said it was predicting 7 inches of snow for the stadium at game time. I mean, remember there were guys that would play in their short sleeves in that kind of weather? Going even deeper, this one's actually not very pleasant. So, Chicago Bulls Ring of Honor ceremony featuring Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, and many more. Sounds like a fun time for all. None of them showed up for the Bulls ceremony honoring their inaugural Ring of Honor class at halftime on Friday, with all of them sending video addresses to acknowledge the event. Other honorees were Phil Jackson, Tony Kukoc, Artis Gilmore, Tex Winter, Chet Walker, the entire 1995-96 team, Jerry Sloan, Bob Love, Dick Klein, and Jerry Krause. It was that last name, according to Yahoo's story, which caused the ceremony to enter disgraceful territory. To put it mildly, Krause, who was the Bulls GM from 1985 to 2003, is not popular among Chicago fans. Jordan famously despised him, and he is widely blamed for the exit of Phil Jackson in 1998, which precipitated the collapse of the team's dynasty. I'd say Jordan retiring after that, 2017, so he wasn't able to defend himself when the team's legacy was re-examined in ESPN's The Last Dance. Instead, the whole documentary became a chance for everyone to dump on Krause. So it shouldn't have been a huge surprise when Bull fans loudly jeered Krause's name when he was announced. However, it was a surprise in that some of the United Center crowd booed while Krause's widow was there. Thelma Krause didn't seem to take the boos of her late husband well. As you can see, a closer look at her reaction here. So if you look at it, man, oh my gosh, literally, she's like crying. And people were trying to comfort her. Literally, people are trying to, someone's reaching out trying to comfort her. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't watch this earlier. You know, it's funny.
I mean, oh my God.
Yeah, she's bawling. I mean, Stacey King, a Bulls color commentator, played for the Bulls under Krause alongside Jordan. He opened the third quarter by ripping into those fans. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm going to read it so you don't have to try and listen to me listening to it. He says, this is what Stacey King said. He says, I'm a little upset right now. We just had a remarkable ceremony bringing back the legends. And I'll tell you what, Chicago is a sports town. What we witnessed today when Jerry Krause's name was called and the people that booed Jerry Krause and his widow, who was accepting this honor for him, it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I hurt for that lady. It brought her to tears. Whoever booed her in this arena should be ashamed of themselves. That's not Chicago. That's New York, Philly. Chicago's not like that. We don't have a reputation of being that way. Whether you like Jerry Krause or not, that man brought six championships here. He didn't shoot a basket, nor did he get a rebound, but he put six titles up in this arena. There's a lot of teams that only have one. That was really classless. I was disappointed in the people that booed. It was a sad thing. That is terrible. But yeah, that's what's happening in this society now. There's one that somehow didn't get bumped to the bottom on Yahoo. I saw this. It was like right near the top last week, the other day. Todd and Julie Crisley, they're like reality TV people, I guess, receive $1 million settlement from the state of Georgia. Wow. Says in their lawsuit in October 19, 2019, Director of Special Investigations for Georgia's Department of Revenue improperly shared the Crisley's confidential tax and other information to their estranged daughter in an effort to induce her to reveal compromising information about her family. Wow. So yeah, they're settling with Georgia for $1 million. Good. Hey, the doomsday clock is still ticking. Scientists to deliver a warning about nuclear war with doomsday clock 2024 announcement. It's first set in 1947. Warns us how close we, or how far we are from destroying our world with our own dangerous technologies. In recent years, the clock settings have mostly reflected the risk of nuclear war and the dangers of uncontrolled climate change. This year, it will be updated Tuesday, January 23rd at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in Washington, D.C. The last announcement in January 2023 came before the beginning of the Israel-Hamas war, but amid nuclear tensions surrounding Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Maintained by the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, a group founded in 1945 by University of Chicago scientists who had helped develop the first nuclear weapons in the Manhattan Project. Currently, the clock is at 90 seconds to midnight, the closest the clock has been to midnight in its history. AI could affect the timing of the clock this year. Good Lord. Yeah, see? I'm supposed to come out here and be happy. I'm getting depressed when I do some of these stories. I couldn't put this in the regular obituaries. Seinfeld star Peter Crombie dead at 71. Seinfeld, you know? He was best known for his roles on Seinfeld and House of Frankenstein. He was 71. And his ex-wife gave a touching tribute. And she said, Peter was first of all a gentle soul and a true gentleman, very smart and personally like a rock to those who knew him, reliable, dependable, and consistent. He was a gifted Yale-trained actor, a prolific writer, and a true artist. Obviously, he was loved for playing Crazy Joe Davola on Seinfeld. He often was cast as bad guys, interesting, complicated characters like Bernard Goetz. But in real life, he was a very sweet in an old school way. Passed from a fast intestinal illness. Yeah, Seinfeld guy. It's, you know. Anyone remember COVID? Remember that? Remember COVID? Well, according to this story from the Washington Post via Yahoo, COVID kills nearly 10,000 in a month as holidays fuel spread, WHO says. It says almost 10,000 coronavirus deaths were reported in December, and admissions to hospitals and intensive care units surged, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said, with data indicating that holiday gatherings fueled increased transmission of the virus. Although it's no longer a global health emergency, it's still circulating, changing, and killing, he said at a news conference in Geneva. 42% increase in hospitalizations, 62% increase in ICU admissions from the previous month. It's certain that there are also increases in other countries that are not being reported. Now, the JN1 variant, COVID's still around. They're ramping it up in time for November. And just so we know, even celebrities go through hell. This is another story I found on Yahoo. The reason I was going to Yahoo, that's where my email provider is from a long time ago. So, this one's kind of sad. Isabella Strahan celebrated finishing radiation treatment with an emotional video. But she's the daughter of Michael Strahan, and she is battling a brain tumor. Well, why I said sad, I know some people will probably say because he's on network TV that he's probably liberal and all that. I don't know, and I don't care. He's one of those – Michael Strahan, from everything I've seen him, just seems like a good dude. Just seems like a really good guy. And, you know, we forget – you know, there's a story I just saw on Shannon Doherty as well, but – you know, she's doing a video about it. She's documenting it. And some people would say, you know, it's you know, you get through that kind of a treatment at a 19-year-old. And, you know, it means she's surviving at least. She's fighting hard. Good for her. I just saw Shannon Doherty just did a interview, I guess, on her podcast, or the guy that she does her podcast with or something, and talked about, you know, she's talking about facing death. You know, her cancer has spread. It was in remission for a while, but, you know, it's come back and it's metastasized and it reached her brain and then into her bones. And it's sad to read those stories. Because, you know, one, she's not that old. She's young, probably in her 40s or 50s. But two, to be that, going through that, it's not easy for anyone. Now, on the other side, an actual feel-good moment from the Emmys. From the Emmys, believe it or not. So Christina Applegate, who has also gone through some cancer stuff of her own and has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, she appeared at the Emmys to present an award, and she said her illness, and she joked that her body is not by Ozempic. But anyway, she got there, and she got a standing ovation presenting the award for supporting actress in a comedy series. But she made a few jokes. She said, oh, my God, you're totally shaming me with disability by standing up, because she had to use a cane. She said, it's fine, body not by Ozempic. But she said her debut was as Baby Burt Grizel on Days of Our Lives. yeah. But, you know, it's nice. She talked about working on the series that she worked on called Dead to Me, and how good they were with her in the last season, taking breaks when she needed them. And, you know, It's nice that – I know it's Hollywood and it's the Emmys and all that, but it's nice that they at least honor her and show support that way. It makes you realize not all of them are jack wagons. On to a little more lighthearted stuff. Add Vivek Ramaswamy and Asa Hutchinson to the list of GOP candidates dropping out yesterday or the day before, in addition to, of course, Chris Christie last week. Asa Hutchinson, well, Christie just is flat out jackwagon about it. But Asa Hutchinson said basically, we raised awareness by the problems that could be Let me read it here. I got the article somewhere. I got it here. What did he say? He said, my message of being a principled Republican with experience and telling the truth about the current frontrunner did not sell in Iowa. I stand by the campaign I ran. I answered every question, sounded the warning to the GOP about the risks in 2024, and presented hope for our country's future. Yeah, going after the frontrunner, that's hope, buddy. He wanted to make it to the top four and beat Vivek Ramaswamy. But he did not. He launched his campaign in April of 2023. Never managed to build significant momentum. He got 0.2% of the vote. And he makes that statement. There is a stark difference between the attitudes of Hutchinson and Christie. There's another funny I got out of him. I got to find it. Anyway, there's a stark difference between them versus what Ramaswamy and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. He dropped out before the caucus. Hutchins said he got out his message that the GOP should not be going all in on President Trump. Christie said he will do whatever it takes to make sure Trump is not elected come November. While both Vivek and Doug Burgum have endorsed President and will work to aid in his election. That also shows the stark difference really between the consistent Democrat line of supporting Dopey Joe, at least publicly, versus the splinter that we see between the various GOP folks. Sure, I mean, some Democrats are working behind the scenes, but that's not against Joe Biden as much as it is against Trump. They're mainly working to secure a backup if and when Dopey Joe takes a dive and or it becomes obvious he won't win. There's no real open rebellion against Dopey Joe. The sad fact, though, is how many Republicans are actively working against President Trump. Hell, Chris Christie could be viewed as aiding President Obama's reelection effort in 2012. Remember when Superstorm Sandy, what a stupid concept. He's calling it a tropical storm or a hurricane. Superstorm Sandy, and afterwards, Chris Christie was all over President Obama saying how wonderful he was helping New Jersey in the aftermath. By the way, for his part, President Trump was conciliatory during his victory speech. He adopted a tone of unity, I would say, including unifying across the aisle, not just on the Republican side. He also praised his fellow candidates, saying they did a good job and they're smart, capable people. I got the exact quote here from the Epic Times. Where did he? Speaking of DeSantis and Haley, he said, I think they both actually did very well. I really do. He said, I also want to congratulate Vivek because he did a hell of a job. He came from zero and he's got a big percent, probably 8%. That's an amazing job. They all did. They're very smart. They're very smart people, very capable people. He also said, I really think this is time now for everybody in our country to come together. We want to come together, whether it's Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative. It would be so nice if we could come together and straighten out the world. He added, I want to make that a very big part of our message. We are going to come together. It's what it'll take. Tell you one part, it's not going to be part of it. Democrats. This is a good one. Massachusetts is begging citizens to do what I would consider the unthinkable. So at the start of the border crisis, it's been going on for decades, many Democrat-run parts of the country were silent. They didn't seem to be worried about the millions of blah, blah, blah. So state of Massachusetts is asking private homeowners to take in illegal aliens as the state runs out of room to house the thousands of border crossers who are still flooding into the state. Most importantly, it says, if you have an extra room or suite in your home, please consider hosting a family. Housing and shelter is our most pressing need, and become a sponsor family. Wouldn't it be easier to deport them? Over 20,000 illegals are requiring government aid in Massachusetts. Is this just not, I mean, I can't even fathom. Here's the funny part, as somebody says, it seems Democrats in Massachusetts think Americans who have been struggling to make ends meet under Biden's inflation have extra suites to put up illegal immigrants. Now, many of these same Democrats who bragged about being sanctuary cities or states are panicking over 10 or 20,000 migrants demand government handouts. Points out some of these migrants do not have a reputation for appreciating the generosity of American states. They have reportedly trashed hotel rooms, posed health and safety risks at parks and public spaces, and have refused to work, the very reason they claimed to come here. Please, somebody pinch me, kick me in the nuts, I don't know what, but how in the hell does a state official actually have the temerity to ask citizens to house illegals? I mean, tell me I'm wrong or something. Can you imagine? I mean, I can't even imagine going to a podium to announce. I can't imagine discussing that in a meeting. Meanwhile, Boyd has put something in the chat about the new strain that's being worked on in the lab in China of COVID, claimed to be 100% effective at killing, at least in terms of rats. Don't think they've tested on humans yet, but a new strain that's 100% effective at killing you. Now back to this, begging citizens to house illegal immigrants in their own homes. Do you remember, I mean, not remember, if you remember in school, remember that little controversy about, during the Revolutionary War, about the British seizing colonists' homes and putting soldiers in colonists' homes? Remember, that was kind of a problem, right? Now, we've like come full circle, except we're doing it to our own selves. We're asking our citizens to take in people who they have no idea who they are or what they're about or their criminal background or just how much. I mean, can you imagine coming out in the middle of the night? Some dude is going through your refrigerator, grabs your last beer. God, that would not go well at my house. That poor bastard. Yeah, remember Tonya Harding hired that guy, her husband Jeff Galulli hired that guy to take out Nancy Kerrigan's knee. Yeah, I wouldn't use a stick, though. I'd just, like, go at him with my foot, snap his knee out. I mean, this can't be real. I mean, I know it is, but they can't be serious. I mean, do they really think that that's – I just don't. I mean, I can't even imagine that somebody sat there and came – and actually mouthed that out loud. I just can't. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin not only kept his de facto boss, Dopey Joe, and those under his command in the dark about his cancer diagnosis, but now it seems a 9/11 call, 911 call, from an aide shows that aide requesting dispatchers and responders be discreet about the call. This is from American Liberty News. So Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin left many on his staff all 11 combatant commands and even the White House in the dark about his cancer diagnosis. However, he appears to have made a special request with paramedics en route to his home. The Daily Beast's national security correspondent reported that an aide of Austin called 911 to request an ambulance at Austin's residence. They asked dispatchers to be discreet as per the recording of the call obtained. Can I ask the ambulance not to show up with lights and sirens? We're trying to make it a little subtle, the aide stated in the recording obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request in a Virginia court. The dispatcher responded that the ambulance could do that, noting that usually when they turn into a residential neighborhood, they'll turn them off. She added that the ambulance is required by law to run the sirens and lights on main streets, such as Georgetown Pike and Leesburg Pike. The audio of the call, which has not been previously reported, reveals new details about the Secretary of Defense's emergency, and he suggests that the effort to keep his ailment secret was well known among his close aides. Although he kept the incident a secret from the public and from U.S. President Joe Biden and other senior administration officials, it was revealed last week that he had received surgery in December to treat and cure prostate cancer. He eventually went to Walter Reed, which we talked about last week. Boyd and Hawkeye Mike talking about possibly covering for them if he had an infection or whatever, experiencing medical complications on January 1st. It's not clear who asked the aide to request the ambulance dispatcher's attempt to fly under the radar or if the aide acted in his own accord. The Pentagon did not immediately return a request for comment. The call, they redacted the caller's identity and other personal and health information, including redacting Lloyd Austin's name. But it's clear he was a subject based on the time and location of the call. He was discharged this past Monday, by the way, 2 weeks stay, urinary prostate and a urinary tract infection. Okay, I'm going to go down a different road here, maybe not totally, but I can actually understand part of this. With our heightened military worries between the U.S. and, just about everybody, I would think that you want it to be somewhat strategic. You don't want to suddenly let everybody know that the Secretary of Defense is even partially incapacitated. I really can understand that. I mean, I think somebody should have known, but I can understand not wanting to, to spread that across the news until it's under control or whatever, until you know all the facts. You don't want to just blurt out that somebody's sick in this kind of instance. I get that. I actually get that. And there is there's a fine line here with HIPAA and all that. I mean, they talk about HIPAA. By the way, everyone, I don't know if HIPAA is Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. It's, for privacy and all that. That's bullshit. I mean, they talk about, well, have a electronic medical record that travels with you. We now know that they've busted into all these kinds of records the government has. HIPAA was the Bill Clinton Protection Bill. It's what it was, from knowing facts about him that would have been less than comforting for people to know about him. So before we go to break, an article by Jim Hoft posted on his website, The Gateway Pundit. Remember, Jim was on this show back in 2021 after all the election stuff. First, you got to understand that Jim and his staff are often ahead of news that comes out of Washington, D.C. Second, it's almost uncanny how it bears out and becomes fact versus opinion or supposition. In other words, if you see it on Gateway Pundit, I'm not saying you can always 100% take it to the bank, but you usually can. They do their digging. They know their stuff. Third, this short story should scare the living hell out of every American citizen. To make worse, it further confirms our unease about the deep state, i.e. that it's not only real, but that it actively acts with disregard to our current system of government. or I should say our system of government. It has no regard for us, the citizenry. The deep state has no regard. The worst, though, is that they make constant reference to years of democracy. Do that all the time, and we got to save them. This country was not formed as a democracy. Its erosion from a constitutional republic to a quasi-democracy has nothing to do with the will of the citizens, but rather the will of those who seek power and do anything they can to keep it, even against this country's founding principles. Anyway, here's the article. It's really, it's not frightening, but okay. NBC evidently reported something, and I'm not sure they wanted to. But anyway, here's the story. Concerns are intensifying among far-left national security experts, that's in quotes, and Pentagon insiders over the possibility that former President Donald Trump might leverage the U.S. military to enforce his political will if he returns to the Oval Office. In a detailed report, NBC News inadvertently admitted the existence of a deep state, allegedly working to facilitate a military coup against former President Trump if he is freely and fairly elected by Americans. The NBC article paints a portrait of a left-wing plot to disrupt military allegiance to civilian control. Molly Hemingway of The Federalist wrote, quote, NBC reports the left is plotting ways to have military not be under civilian control. This dangerous and unconstitutional usurpation of power is being framed by NBC as good because it will undermine Trump if he is freely and fairly elected by Americans. Civilian control of the military is part of the bedrock foundation of American democracy. Again, stop with that. The democratic project is not threatened by the existence of a powerful standing military so long as civilian and military leaders and the rank and file they lead embrace and implement effective civilian control, according to War on the Rocks. Civilian control is exercised within the executive branch for operational orders by the chain of command, which runs from the president to the civilian secretary of defense to the combatant commanders. Now there is a concerted effort by a coalition of interest groups and lawmakers to anticipate and thwart any attempts to misuse presidential powers. This includes closely monitoring Trump's policy statements and the interviews given by his allies to gauge the direction of a potential second Trump administration. Key players in this preemptive effort include Democracy Forward and Protect Democracy, far-left organizations with histories of challenging Trump's administration in court. They are preparing for legal battles and seeking to build alliances to counteract any abuses of power from day one. NBC News reports. Donald Trump is sparking fears among those who understand the inner workings of the Pentagon that he would convert the nonpartisan U.S. military into the muscular arm of his political agenda as he makes comments about dictatorship and devalues the checks and balances that underpin the nation's two-century-old democracy. A circle of appointees independent of Trump's political operation steered him away from ideas that would have pushed the limits of presidential power in his last term, according to books they've written and testimony given to Congress. Most were gone by the end. In a new term, many former officials worried that Trump would instead surround himself with loyalists unwilling to say no. Trump has raised fresh questions about his intentions if he regains power by putting forward a legal theory that a president would be free to do nearly anything with impunity, including assassinate political rivals, so long as Congress can't muster the votes to impeach him and throw him out of office. Where are they getting this from, by the way? Where are they getting this from? Nothing like this has appeared anywhere in media, and you can be damn sure it would. Now, bracing for Trump's potential return, a loose-knit network of public interest groups and lawmakers is quietly devising plans to try to foil any efforts to expand presidential power, which could include pressuring the military to cater to his political needs. He's never done that. He's never shown any inclination in that regard. You know why the Dibs are doing this? Because this is what they have been doing. So they do that, and then they turn around and say that's their greatest fear. It said those taking part in the effort told NBC News they are studying Trump's past actions and 2024 policy positions so that they will be ready if he wins in November. That involves preparing to take legal action and send letters to Trump appointees spelling out consequences they'd face if they undermine constitutional norms. That's already a part of the job description. You take an oath. They're making it sound like, oh, we're watching you. Critics argue that preemptive measures to curtail such use are tantamount to unconstitutional acts and may pave the way for a military coup to subvert the will of the American people. The core of the argument from detractors of the NBC report is that there is an orchestrated effort by the deep state to undermine Trump's authority, which would be legally and democratically conferred upon him should he win the 2024 election. Americans fear that the actions described in the NBC report are not safeguards of democracy, but are moves to dismantle it. Absolutely. You know, I don't know if any of you remember when Jim was on this show, now 3 years ago now almost. He said something really interesting at the time. It wasn't like it's this, you know, it's communism or it's, you know, he said it's not, you know, it's just an evil. What you're really talking about is it really is just an evil that exists out there. And that's totally it. I remember Brother Tommy calling it afterwards and saying, you know, he nailed it. It's just, there's just an evil. That's what it is. These people are evil. These people are dangerous. These people don't love America. They don't love America, but they have no problem whatsoever exploiting it. Wow. So, yeah, be watching this. Be watching this. I'm going to take a quick break, and I will be back in a few minutes.
Give me love, give me love, give me love.
great George Harrison. We are back. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here at Global Patriot Radio. Find us on blogtalkradio.com, of course. So I've been doing some laughies today, and there's some really good ones. So I'm going to add another one, two more before we get going. This one from the Babylon Bee. 9 items liberals must stockpile to protect themselves in case Trump wins. These are good. Number 1, gun-free zone signs. This will scare off the roving gangs of MAGA voters. 2, bricks for throwing through the windows of a local small business for democracy. Number 3, books that say gay. You need to build up a stash before Trump burns them. Number 4, freeze-dried mail-in ballots. You'll need them to take back our democracy in 2028. Every episode, number 5, every episode of Brian Stelter's Reliable Sources on DVD. There's no way those will be available for purchase in Trump's fascist America. Number 6, masks and COVID tests to provide you with peace of mind while you're in your bunker. Number 7, emergency puberty blockers, in case you or a loved one ever need to trance a kid. Number 8, Kleenex, to use as you mourn the loss of our precious democracy and while watching your Brian Stelter DVDs. And number 9, pictures of Trump to stare at hatefully every day. Another one from them, 51-year-old in a punk band, horrified as he suddenly realizes he's a 51-year-old in a punk band. Okay. So I admit it, a week ago Monday, I broke down and got a free trial of one of the live TV streaming providers to watch the college football championship game Monday night the 8th. I know, I said I wouldn't, but I did. Michigan won 34-13, and while they did dominate the game, it certainly wasn't without some observations of poor officiating. Even broadcast team highlighted several holes by Michigan that went unnoticed. And it was interesting that on Washington's first big downfield pass completion, officials suddenly spotted a hold. I know. Be that as it may, Michigan ran the ball all over them in the first quarter, and it was enough. Donovan Edwards had 40-plus yard touchdown runs on Michigan's first two possessions. Washington kept it reasonably close. But the holding penalty, which helped kill a potentially good drive, seemed to take out of them any fight that they had left. Neither quarterback had great numbers, but Michigan dominated on the ground, gained 303 yards to Washington's 40. Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr., who was the runner-up for the Heisman, he did throw 2 interceptions, which led to 10 Michigan points. So, while one could say legitimately officiating wasn't the difference, it was still horrible, as it was throughout most of the season. One person in attendance for the game was former Michigan assistant and the central figure in the sign-stealing scandal, Connor Stallions. I know many people, mostly Michigan fans, have no problem with this, but I kind of liken it to the whole Pete Rose, over gambling issues, is banned from Major League Baseball. He's not eligible for the Hall of Fame. He's not eligible to manage a team or service staff. But to keep having these reunion events, old-timer games, whatever, legend events, and he shows up. He's allowed to show up. They keep letting him attend these things. It's pretty simple. Either he's eligible or he's not. Mr. Miyagi said it best in The Karate Kid, do yes or do no. Do guess so, get squished like grape. That applies here as well. I'm sorry, it's a terribly bad look to have the central figure, who by the way resigned from the program, in a cheating scandal, in attendance at the game. And look, while media celebrates the genius of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh, including lionizing his father Jack, who was in attendance, it makes scant reference to the fact that he has served 2 3-game suspensions this season. Actually, they kind of speak with a sense of awe about Michigan, quote, overcoming the odds and the hurdles. I mean, seriously? This guy has now cheated twice, at least that we know of. He accepted the two suspensions because he really had no choice. Evidence in the sign-stealing case was such that Michigan and Harbaugh, once it was brought to light, backed off on fighting it. The other case in which he was accused of recruiting during a specified dead period during the COVID pandemic had more to do with lying to NCAA investigators than it did to the actual recruiting violation. And therein lies the difference between a stand-up guy like a Kirk Ferentz or a Dabo Sweeney or even a Nick Saban versus a Jim Harbaugh. Call Kirk Ferentz's offense as boring. Call his recent results against ranked teams very disappointing. But he doesn't lie to the NCAA. The season-long suspension of star defensive lineman Noah Shannon showed that. The minute the Iowa authorities came after several Iowa athletes, it was reported. No lying to the NCAA, no covering up. Yes, Kirk Ferentz complained about the suspension. He complained about the fact that gambling, which our very own Supreme Court said must be allowed, that is all over the airwaves, including gambling-related companies advertising during sports broadcasts, but it's treated as a major offense. Look, when a player doesn't bet on his own team or his own sport, it's kind of hard to say the integrity of the game is at stake, especially given the fact officials who make questionable calls aren't questioned about their possible involvement. So no, Jim Harbaugh isn't a genius or a mastermind or a brilliant coach. He's a cheater with zero integrity. In his current contract negotiations, he apparently wants immunity from any of this stuff. And frankly, the championship he just won could still be taken away from him and the university. It wouldn't bother me one iota, by the way. Sadly, though, NCAA President Charlie Baker recently told the media, Michigan won the title fair and square. Said, since the sign-stealing thing, they've been straight and narrow. Here's the thing. Now that it's happened, all their opponents will always be wondering now in the back of their minds, are our sides safe or are they compromised? Do we need to change them up? Do we need to change them up for each game? Now, some people say, just change them each game. It's not that simple. If you've ever watched ball game, there are signs on the sideline, right, as it is now. You can't have headset communication in your helmets. That might be better. It might actually save a lot of headaches. I mean, can you imagine a coach up in the box, not from the sidelines, but a coach up in the box says, hey, challenge that call. He tells the player right there, challenge that call. But no. You can't just change up sides each game. So, but that's always going to be in the mind of future Michigan opponents now, as long as Jim Harbaugh is the coach. Now, there's been some interesting stuff regarding the transfer portal the past few weeks. One, Liberty quarterback Caden Salter has actually withdrawn his name from the portal. Ohio State has picked up two legit guys, one on either side of the ball. USC ended up getting a quarterback who was supposed to go to Georgia. Former Washington State quarterback Cam Ward, who many thought was going to Ohio State, ended up opting for the NFL draft. So there's that. With the retirement of Nick Saban, when the head coach leaves, that gives players the 30-day window. And several players from Alabama have now entered the transfer portal. Tells you the kind of impact Nick Saban has had. The final AP Top 25 poll is out as expected. Michigan was unanimous number one. Florida State ended up sixth. The Hawkeyes stayed in the top 25 at number 24, finished number 22 in the coaches poll. College Football Playoff Committee obviously doesn't put out a ranking system afterward. SEC, Southeast Conference Commissioner Greg Sankey, is disappointed in the reaction to these college football playoff selections. Really? I mean, people are saying FSU didn't belong. Well, you could make the argument that Bama and Texas didn't belong, right? They lost. Sad thing is, because the committee so egregiously left FSU out of the mix, that team played its bowl game minus 29 players. 29. Now, a team, a full team is 22 players. So, in effect, 1.3 levels of depth. They lost their first string plus seven more players. Now, that's not exactly how it worked, but in reality, that's what it was. I got to say, way to go, head coach Kirby Smart from Georgia. As I said last week, he spoke out. Good for him. Sure, we do go to a 12-team playoff next year, but all that really assures is that two SEC teams will always get in, maybe a third. And unless they have Jeff Gillooly hire someone to break the knees of every player on their team, Notre Dame is going to be always assured, as long as they don't lose four games. But look, here's the thing. When a committee can't get it right with four teams, expect them to do much better when they have to come up with 12. And remember the ESPN controversy through all this? They're in talks to extend their exclusive broadcast rights for the playoffs. Yeah, so don't expect necessarily, don't expect better selection or extended access. Except as that applies to the SEC, of course. The game also meant the end, as we know it, of Pac-12 conference football. Washington, Oregon, and USC, along with UCLA, head to the Big Ten next year. Six of the other teams head to the Big 12 or Atlantic Coast Conference. Meanwhile, Oregon State and Washington State are left wondering how long they can survive as a program now. Not just the Power 5 level, but frankly, is football bowl subdivision level. I mean, that's sad. That really is. Of course, like I said, the future of bowl games is up in the air. I know, most of them aren't crowning a national champion. But that's precisely the point. It was a reward for schools across the spectrum, i.e. the big budget schools, the lesser budget schools, Power 5, Group of 5, big conference, small conference. Rarely were they money makers for most schools. And yet ESPN and others were shelling out big money to broadcast them. Fans traveled to them. Sure, given that Texas or Florida or California or Arizona in December or January is far more appealing than the Twin Cities or Detroit or New York or Boston. This will impact local economies in a lot of places. But here's what's going unnoticed. Here's what we're not hearing about. Most of these bowls are also tied to charitable endeavors. There's some sort of charitable aspect of them. So it'll be interesting to see the negative impact from this fallout. It'll be even more interesting to see what this does to the smaller non-blue blood programs. On the Hawkeye front, the new offensive coordinator still has yet to be announced. Speculation has run from Paul Christ to Joe Philbin to Ryan Grubb. Apparently none of those is coming. One name in the mix was Brendan Marion, but some people have quashed that. One fears that it will be Iowa analyst John Budmeyer. The Hawkeyes had no new portal entries after their bowl game. However, Cooper DeGene did opt for the NFL draft. It was the right move. Jay Higgins and Luke Lachey will still be back, along with Quinn Schulte, Sebastian Castro, Jabari Roberts, Nick Jackson. Defense will still be very good, possibly great. Yes, we lose Cooper. We lose defensive end Joe Evans, who's finished his eligibility, but there are still a lot of pieces coming back. The question will become, can the new offensive coordinator turn things around quickly enough to stop the free fall of the past three seasons on the offensive side? He'll be doing it without Eric Aull, the Michigan transfer tight end. Came in alongside Cade McNamara. Cade is staying, of course. Eric Aull did opt for the draft. Frankly, there's more questions than just offensive coordinator. I mean, is the offensive line getting a turnaround? Is it merely scheme or play calling that's holding us back, especially with the wide receivers? By the way, wide receivers coach Kelton Copeland is not being retained. He said his contract's not being renewed. In my humble opinion, the problem hasn't just been the offensive coordinator publicized. It's drawn the most wrath. but it's not been the only problem on the offensive side of the ball. We do know, however, it's going to come with a bigger salary than Brian Ferentz was receiving, because defensive coordinator Phil Parker just got a bump up to $1.9 million. He's earned every penny of that. And linebackers coach Seth Wallace got a bump to $1 million and a new title. He is now the assistant head coach. What makes you wonder if he's the head coach in waiting when Kirk Ferentz retires? Kirk Ferentz is another head coach. He spoke out on the issues of college football the past couple weeks, along with Kirby Smart and others. They've pointed to some of the obvious. In short, college football has some big problems. Whether or not expanding the playoff will some of it is anyone's guess. I see the big three being unfettered NIL and transfer portal, including the rule breaking. Nobody's policing forbidden contact. Schools and coaches are getting directly involved in NIL and offering NIL deals. And it becomes a resource issue, especially for smaller markets. Think about this. It's not just about market size. It's also about alumni and the locality. The alumni base for schools like Ohio State, Texas, UCLA, USC, Minnesota, Penn State is larger than most. When you factor in places like Oregon, who has Nike all but backing them, and then factor in places like Seattle, you got all those tech billionaires, Michigan with the Detroit auto executive types, other areas with major high-profile, high-dollar companies, it really puts a place like Nebraska or Iowa further down the top tier. With Walmart in Arkansas and the Walton family and the Omaha-based Warren Buffett, how come Nebraska and Arkansas haven't been lighting up in recent years? Now, next step, I would say bowl opt-outs, whether it's the draft or the portal. You're having too many. This needs to be fixed. And that, whether that's tying it to NIL for bowl appearances or making players repay all NIL money, scholarships, et cetera, or not allowing players to travel with the team to those games. In some cases, players have actually traveled to the bowl and then opted out. That's beyond problematic. And the third, I would say the college football playoff selection process and the bowls. What are going to be the criteria? Are conference champions going to be automatic or just some of them? What about access for the group of five teams? What happens to the remainder of the Pac-12? How easy is the path going to be made for Notre Dame? That's being left out of all this. Other independents have an impossible path. And James Madison, who transitioned to FBS Division I, actually had to get an exemption to be in a bowl. And yet another independent, still independent, Notre Dame, what's their path going to be like? What happens to the bowls, especially the New York Six bowls? You know, does that get factored into the playoff? Is it part of it? And another question, does a two-loss Iowa, just say it, the two-loss Iowa team like this year, do they have a chance of hell of getting it over a two-loss Notre Dame or even a two-loss Georgia? You know, they mentioned the ACC problem with Florida State. They never mentioned it with Clemson. Frankly, I have a hard time seeing Big Ten schools going undefeated year after year now with the league moving to 18 teams. You kind of got to wonder how much all this played into the legendary Nick Saban announcing his retirement. Now, he's being replaced by former Washington head coach Kalen DeBoer, who's frankly abandoning Washington at this point, along with his offensive coordinator he's taking with him, Ryan Grubb. You wonder how Washington's going to look next year in the Big Ten, or Oregon for that matter, UCLA, USC. We didn't really see any fresh blood in the new coaching ranks. No real diversity or virtue signal hires. So it makes you kind of wonder. In college basketball, the Iowa Hawkeyes have won three in a row now. Or no, maybe more than that. I forgot what it was. It's three or four in a row. And are actually, I don't want to say looking great, but looking much better. You know, we had a win against Nebraska, a win at Minnesota. So, you know, you just got to you got to kind of be encouraged. Head coach Fran McCaffrey became Iowa's all-time winningest coach over the legendary Tom Davis with the win the other night. And he has he's done okay in his career there. He resurrected an Iowa team, an Iowa program that was really struggling after the quasi debacle that was Steve Alford. Yeah, the Hawkeyes have won three in a row. Rutgers, Nebraska, and Minnesota. They beat Rutgers, who has looked, typically in the past several years, has looked better, certainly has the athletes. They beat Nebraska after Nebraska had just beaten number one Purdue by 16 points. So, yeah, we get number two Purdue this Saturday at Purdue. So, yeah, be watching the Hawkeye. The Hawkeye women's basketball, Caitlin Clark, is just she's America's darling in a way in the sports world. She has, you know, she's – let's put it this way. Coaches from LSU and South Carolina who are typically ranked as high or higher have really been throwing shade at her. And it's kind of almost humorous. She's been great for the game. And as many are saying, she's not just the best woman basketball player. She's just the best basketball player, period. I'm not saying she would be better than the men, but in terms of her impact on the sport, it's been amazing. Almost final internet laughy. Headline of the week from the Epic Times. Boeing admits not where we need to be in terms of quality amid scrutiny over door plug blowout. Really? Followed by this gem from the Babylon Bee, Boeing CEO assures all nervous flyers that all 737 aircraft are built to the highest diversity standards. Oh, God. And then this absolute best internet laughy of the week. I got off Twitter from a poster named Nurse Lioness. L-I-O, not Linus, Lioness. Said, my cousin called and asked if I would loan her $300 to help pay her rent. Told her to give me some time to think about it, I would call her back. Before I called her back, my aunt called, told me that my cousin was lying and not to give her the money. She went on to say that the real reason my cousin wanted the $300 was to get her boyfriend out of jail so she could, quote, be under the same roof as him for his birthday. I was mad when I heard that, but I thought about it for a minute and decided to give her $300 because we all need help at times. So I called my cousin, told her to come get the money. A couple of hours later, I get a call from a correctional facility. It was my cousin crying and screaming and asking why I gave her counterfeit money. I said, so you and your boyfriend could be under the same roof for his birthday. Absolute brilliance. Well, folks, that's it for tonight. I had planned to go the 2 hours, but sorry, boy, you just came into the chat room, and here I am getting ready to head out for the night. But thanks for being here. Sorry. Thanks, Snowman James, a.k.a. Duck Northwest Media, and thanks to Alaskan, who was here for a while, gave us the story on the strain. Bringing it, asking, is it true a woman is going to call to be the ref for the Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't follow the NFL closely enough. People ask me that. They say, since you do sports, why don't you follow the NFL more closely or pro sports? What I follow in pro sports are former Iowa Hawkeyes or former Big Ten people. I don't care about, you know, a lot of the NFL. But, no, I haven't heard that. I'll look because it'll be interesting to see if that's the case. It would be virtue signaling. That's all it would be. Would not be about qualifications. Not saying the woman is less qualified. Just saying it would be a virtue signaling maneuver. But so I want to thank Bringing Boy for coming in. Duck / Snowman James. Duck, how do you want me to go? You want me to go by Snowman James now, or do you want to still go by Duck? Put it in. I'll give you a few minutes. And I want to thank T. Boney, who was listening. Sue from New Mexico, who was first in tonight. First in to the room in any form. It was on her phone, but she was first here, so she wins the award tonight. My big sister is not listening in tonight because she's on a cruise in Antarctica. Yeah, right now. You know, it's actually not winter there. You remember, it's below the equator. It's reversed, but still. Some people got it nice. Let's put it that way. She's not even having to pay for it. Her daughter, my niece, is paying for it. So, nice. Tommy hasn't been around much, but he's still kicking. Still kicking. Hawkeye Mike has been under, I'm not sure where he's going today, but he was checking in on text and stuff with some transfer portal news and wondered who the next T. Boney, I should give him a shout out. T. Boney was at the caucuses Monday night. He was there. I don't know if he got to make any speeches or, you know, I don't know how you cast. Well, you vote for delegates, really, is what you do with delegates for that. But awesome that he could get to go to that. I've never been to any kind of event like that. Should try to make plans to go, but they don't do caucuses in Florida. By the way, they're talking about that in other places. If state's going to keep doing this, banning people from the ballot, they'll just go to a caucus system. And that's an awesome way to do it. It really is. Because you know darn well that barring major reasons, anybody who's disqualified, I mean, I will be shocked. Hawkeye Mike says it would be almost unheard of that the Supreme Court would allow this to stand. Other than somebody who's like been committed, you know, convicted of treason. But there's absolutely no basis on which they could disqualify Trump from the ballot right now. And they probably did it soon enough, knowing it was going to be overturned. They didn't do it to actually disqualify. What they're trying to do is paint a picture of him in the minds of Americans. Brother Tommy points out, look how many Americans are stupid enough to vote for Biden. Whether you believe he won or not isn't even the issue. The fact is that it was close enough for them to be able to cheat. The fact that many people, I mean, let's say, you know, right now his approval rating is the lowest of any president right now, 33%. At this stage of his term. It's, think about that, 33% approve of this guy? I mean, you say, well, it's only 33. No, but think about it, 33% approve of this? Who are these people? Who are they polling? Good God. I shouldn't tell this joke, but I guess maybe I've told it already. So there's this hilarious meme that my cousin posted on Facebook. It's Dopey Joe lying down next to Jill. And she's sort of looking down at him. And she says, was that a fart? And his answer is, some of it. It's just, it's disgusting. I hate to say it with Sue on the phone, but it's so true. Oh, Hawkeye Mike's busy down at Denver today. That's why he's not in. He just texted me. Yeah, I just love that. Was that a fart? Some of it. It's terrible. It's crass, but it's so, I mean, literally, when bona fide, credible podcasters and media types are saying Biden shit his pants, they're not making it up just because. They're saying, basically, dude crapped his pants. They're not making it up. It's not being refuted by other people elsewhere in media. I mean, literally. And that's why I say, you know, I could, I'm sorry, Sue, if this, or anyone, if it offends it, boy or snowman or a duck. I mean, sorry for the fans, but it's hilarious because it's some of it. I'm sorry, folks. So anyway, I'm that's it for tonight. I am heading out. I'm going to try and I think my, like I said, my allergies are bad, but I think there's something in the room where I do this. I think there's something in here that's really bothering. I've got old stuff in here. I probably need to go through and see what it is, but I'm going to have some soup, homemade soup, not out of a can, and watch a little TV. I got an early paddle tomorrow, so. Oh, God. Boy, he says, Joe got her ideas to decorate the White House this year just looking inside of Joe's pants. Oh, God. Oh. Anyway, got to paddle tomorrow. But in the meantime, tomorrow night, there is a SpaceX launch, a manned launch. So be looking for that. I'll be looking for it here in the Orlando area. In the meantime, folks, have a great night. Have a great rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there. I know weather is a factor in a lot of places. Although back when I was a kid, we just called it winter. That's all, you know, that's all it was. So, but I know it's a factor. So be safe if you're driving, you know, especially if you're driving an electric car, make sure the thing can get charged. See that? There's places, Chicago especially, they have cars sitting there that can't take the charge because it's so cold. So be safe, folks, and have a great rest of your week and into your weekend. Good night, folks.